Brett Cianci, a pick six previews, checks in with us on Wednesdays. He's finishing up the SEC in his studies. Morning, sir. How you doing?
Hey, good morning, Bill. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. What did you uncover looking into the SEC?
Yeah, so on a conference level, I think it's obviously a very talented league. That's not going to change next year. I think the torch has passed for another year to another competitive league. I think the SEC West itself is really loaded. It's really deep of a division. It's one of those where I'm struggling really to place someone last, and that's a good problem to have. That shows how deep it is. You have a lot of teams going through their second year with the coaching staff, and of course you tend to see a second-year coach bonus. I talk about that a lot, but I'm looking at maybe a bigger bonus than usual, given how last year their transition year was without an off-season, a full off-season for install. So look for huge jumps for Ole Miss, Mississippi State, Arkansas, teams like that. And then at the top, looking at the powerhouse programs, it leads me into another discussion about the transfer portal. Some had thought that, this portal will even out the players and talent pool, how, maybe the lower programs might pick up some prospects. I think the opposite is happening, where these powerhouse programs, if they have a gap somewhere on their roster, say they missed on some recruits or had some early NFL players go, they can just go right to the portal. So Alabama bringing in Henry T from Tennessee, an All-American caliber player to patch up a hole at linebacker, and then and receiver for them from Ohio State, and Georgia doing it with three really great players to cover up at corner and safety and at tight end. So the rich get richer, and I think that's kind of proof of it.
Outside of Georgia, is the SEC East a notch down?
I think this year, yeah, you're catching a division, maybe a transition. Like I said, the West is really, really loaded coming back. I see improvements for almost every team, maybe Auburn going through a coaching change and some roster turnover there. But, with the East, I think Georgia is far and ahead, number one right now. Florida definitely number two, though. I think that's a pretty definite 1-2 punch there. Florida obviously loses a ton of offensive firepower. It was a record-setting unit, SEC records in the past game there with Kyle Trask and Kyle Pitts and Kadarius Toney. These aren't just average, receivers and stat lines you see. These are just, once-in-a-generation kind of player types. So having to replace them will be tough. I know they got Keon Zipper there and some receivers, but just in general, it's going to be tough to reload that offense. Defense has to improve. From there, though, you can make the argument for a bunch of teams. Kentucky under Mark Stoops, he has built up quite a track record of just a strong program, physically tough in the trenches, big offensive line. They do get a couple of those great offensive linemen back. And Chris Rodriguez is one of the more underappreciated backs in the league. So, look at them maybe third, and we'll see how that shakes out. And Missouri, second year under Eli Drinkwitz. Again, a second-year program. Look for a jump there. Maybe some more offensive firepower. Tennessee, we talked about them on the show before. They have the most transfers out of any program. I think it's up to 28 now. 28 players out in the last 8 months. That's more than a full recruiting class. And like I said, these aren't just backups. These are star players. So they're scattered across the Power 5 landscape. So tough year coming up for Tennessee. Vanderbilt, they're starting from ground zero pretty much with Clark Lee. I think it's a great hire. They got that financial boost, but it's going to be tough to build. So, yeah, there's a lot to look at, but I think the West has the power this year.
12-team playoff appears to be on the horizon. Give us some thoughts there.
Well, my thought on that is that I really don't like it. I'm not a fan of it at all. It kind of alters the nature of the game, and everyone wants to compare it to how it's, this would be just like the NFL. Well, guess what? College football is unique, and that's a good thing. That should be okay. I mean, keep the NFL how it is. That's fine if you're a pro person and love a nice 17-game regular season where, you're filling up the stands on Sunday. Those games don't matter. You could lose five in a row in the NFL. It doesn't matter as long as you get hot in January. So, you know, and to each his own, okay? That's great for the NFL. For college, we don't have to be that. So I think you're going to see a lot of multi-loss teams make the bracket. I see a lot of people on Twitter and online saying, hey, this is great. It gives more teams a chance. Well, guess what? The three-loss UNC team or the three-loss Florida team, they had their chance, in quotes. They had their chance all throughout September, October, and November. They lost. So now, you can also view it as, I think it's a bit unfair to talk about fairness, if you will. I think it's funny, but it's almost unfair to the undefeated team now. Team runs the table, goes 12-0, wins the conference, 13-0, beats these teams. Then they're placed, these three-loss teams are placed right back on the same footing with the team that really ran through the gauntlet. And then we're back in the playoffs now on equal footing. And if we beat you now in January when it matters, your 13-0 season doesn't matter. So, it's a mess. I could really rant for an hour. I don't think you guys want that, but not a fan as of now.
No, I'm not either, but it's coming. It certainly appears to be coming. One note, and there's a million of them, is a rare 10-2 Alabama team a couple of years ago, if you'll recall, 2019 or 2010, kind of a knucklehead team. Do you want to be a high seed playing a lower seed, ticked off Alabama team with Nick Saban? Good luck there, too.
Yeah, so, if you're a team, say, like Iowa or Washington or Michigan State, these kind of programs that made the playoff or made close pushes, kind of you call them like Cinderella seasons, that's going to be wiped away because, like you said, you make the bracket there, 12-0 Iowa. You got to now get through an angry Alabama team that might have had a loss tacked on them. Oklahoma's, Ohio State. It's just going to be tough, and I think you're going to see the more powerhouses get involved, more SEC invitations, and if you're an SEC fan, that's fun. But the rest of the country that thinks that this is going to break up the SEC's power, I think that you're in for a surprise. It's going to just amplify that. It'll be, I was on an SEC podcast with Michael Bratt. I called it, it's going to be an SEC invitational in a few years. And, based on where you live in the country, that's a good thing or a bad thing. But, I just think to bring it back high level, I think it's just the TV money, obviously. It's not earth-shattering. I think TV money is driving the sport. And you look back at, say, 50 years ago, what's made it so special was you had your regional rivalries. You had these 100-year-old rivalries. TV money ruined that too through conference realignment and putting West Virginia in the Midwestern Conference, the Big 12, and breaking up Nebraska, Oklahoma, and Texas and Texas A&M. You can go on and on with that. West Virginia, Pitt. This is just the next phase now. I mean, you're starting to lose. The bowl game has made college football special. The regular season made it special and unique. So just one by one, TV money, you can just see them clenching their fist and really taking it away from what made college football unique.
Now that you've gone conference to conference, Brett Ciancia, a Pick Six previews with us, what is next on the agenda?
Yeah, so next up is the Big 12. I still have 10 teams there to cover.
I forgot about them.
We got the Big 12 up next. Got a couple teams to fill in, like some independents, BYU, I added last year to the book. They've got a huge, passionate fan base, so BYU's added. Notre Dame got a cover. And then we go to the editing phase. I say we. It's really just me. It's a total one-man operation. So once I finish the research and the first writing, I got to go back, edit it. Then I got to, I'm going to scan through and get all these transfers updated because, that is one advantage I do have being a digital publication is while all of the other preseason books are sitting there on newsstands right now, each day that goes by, those are less accurate. I mean, there's transfers happening all over the place, especially over the last month. So this will be very up-to-date, right up to mid-July when I'm going to release it. So, looking forward to it.
Used to at least feel like when it comes to the magazines that there was a race to get out there and get your information out there first. That is now a huge danger because of all the transfers. You can have a magazine on the rack and be almost useless by the time somebody can read it.
Yeah, for sure. That's, what was once a disadvantage for me personally, I think is becoming an advantage. Like I said, being a digital, I can edit this up right away, clean up some paragraphs, get some transfers moved over to different pages and have this thing, you know, as fresh as possible come early July. And I think that by early July, too, I think that latest wave of transfers will be done. You know, I think that you saw a big one, obviously, before spring ball, but then after spring ball, once the depth charts were kind of established on the field a bit and the dust settled, I think that April, May, June was a big transfer wave. So, you know, if you're one of the publication companies that's just sitting there on newsstands collecting dust right now, it's a lot of it's outdated. So I do have that advantage, and that'll be up to date as possible.
Question that I get every year, and it's always a difficult one because I don't look at things in these terms, but I'll ask it to you. In your studies to date, is there a surprise team?
Well, I think, you know, surprise is tough. I mean, you know, I like to look within their program context, you know, what's the surprise. But, you know, I think UNC could surprise some folks if they didn't already last year. Mac Brown really building up a legitimate roster there that could contend for conference titles. I mean, break up the Clemson's power, a power surge there in the ACC. Some surprises in the Big 12. I haven't even researched them yet, but just I remember leaving the 2020 season. In my notes, I was thinking that teams like Iowa State could surprise if they haven't already. TCU is really a sleeper. Again, I want to study the Big 12 more in depth, but they popped out. SEC-wise, teams like Arkansas, Ole Miss, LSU, you know, in Arkansas and Ole Miss's case, they hadn't succeeded as much recently as they'd like. So them bouncing back to bowl season and beyond will be great. LSU, a sleeping giant with all that recruiting talent, and people are definitely writing them off after last year, the transition of all transition years. So I hope people got their jokes in because LSU's coming back quick. Who else we got? Penn State, actually, out of the Big Ten, another team that when you look at the 2020 record, you think, oh, wow, losing record, write them off. But, hey, no, don't go that far. It's a very talented roster, good coaching staff. You know, I think that they will be second in the Big Ten East, potentially with Indiana. So, yeah, that's a great topic, and it's all relative to what you think is a surprise or a sleeper, but a lot of great candidates out there.
Brett Cianci on Pick 6 Previews. Tell everybody how they can get your info.
Yeah, thanks. It's pick6previews.com, at pick6previews on Twitter. And, again, that's a Power 5 season preview book coming out early July, so a few weeks away, but we're getting there. And really excited to get this 2021 edition to the finish line because I think it's going to be one of the more anticipated and unprecedented seasons ever, getting people back in the stands, getting everyone tuned in again, full seasons, not conference slates. So I'm really excited. I think most of college football nation's excited, and we're almost there.
I think I saw where even Southern Cal has announced 100% capacity coming up.
Yeah, yeah, that's hard to believe, and same with UCLA. So for any LSU Tigers out there, it's going to be like basically Death Valley West at the Rose Bowl because they can't fill it up themselves. So it's going to be all purple and yellow in the Rose Bowl. That'll be pretty cool.
That's good news. All right, Brett, appreciate it. See you next week, sir.
See you, Bill.
Brett Cianci of Pick 6 Previews. As you can tell, dude does his homework.